Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Mr. X Interviews, Volume 2 Worldviews from a Fictional U.S. Sovereign Creditor, is a macroeconomic and geopolitical nonfiction book presented as a dialogue between Luke Groman and the fictional Mr. X, a sovereign creditor. Rather than telling a traditional narrative, the book uses conversation, charts, and sourced observations to examine the strain on the modern dollar-centric financial system. Its focus is on how large U.S. deficits, shifting foreign central bank behavior, and changing global trade patterns may be altering the balance of monetary power. The book is especially concerned with the possibility that the United States is reaching the limits of using the dollar as a tool of financial influence. For readers interested in global finance, currency competition, and the structural risks facing sovereign debt markets, the book offers a compact but pointed interpretation of major economic shifts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the weakening of the dollar-centric global order. A central theme of the book is that the U.S. dollar no longer operates with the same uncontested authority it once enjoyed. Through the Mr. X dialogue, Groman frames the dollar-centric system as under growing pressure because the global institutions that traditionally supported it are becoming less willing to absorb expanding U.S. deficits. This matters because the dollar system is not only a currency arrangement, but also a framework for financing government spending, managing trade, and setting the terms of global liquidity. The book argues that when foreign central banks reduce their support, the United States must rely more heavily on internal financing and policy intervention. That shift suggests a structural problem rather than a temporary market fluctuation. The book therefore treats the weakening of dollar dominance as a key macro signal that has implications for interest rates, capital flows, and long-term monetary stability. Secondly, China, yuan pricing, and the challenge to dollar settlement. The book gives substantial attention to China as a major force in currency competition. One of its recurring claims is that China has an incentive to price oil and other strategic imports in its own currency rather than in US dollars. This is not presented as a symbolic gesture alone, but as a practical move toward reducing dependence on the dollar for trade settlement and reserve management. If major commodity transactions can be settled in yuan, the demand for dollars in global commerce can weaken over time. The book uses this possibility to illustrate how monetary power is tied to real trade relationships, not just financial markets. It also suggests that China's approach reflects long-term strategic planning, but one constrained by geopolitical tensions and the need to act more directly, once pressure from the United States intensified. In this way, the book treats yuan internationalization as both a monetary and geopolitical project. Thirdly, why U.S. financial leverage becomes a policy weapon. Another important topic is the idea that the United States may use the dollar as a weapon to preserve the existing financial system. The book presents this as a defensive response to weakening external support for U.S. deficits and to growing challenges from rival powers. Dollar weaponization refers to using access to the U.S. financial system, reserves, payments network, or sanctions tools to influence the behavior of other countries. The book does not describe this as costless, however. Instead, it suggests that when a reserve currency is used aggressively for coercive purposes, foreign actors have stronger incentives to seek alternatives. That creates a paradox: the more the United States relies on financial power to maintain its position, the more it may accelerate long-term attempts to bypass the dollar. This topic is important because it links sanctions, payment systems, and reserve currency politics into one larger strategic picture. It also shows how financial policy can become an extension of national security policy. Fourthly, the trade war is evidence of changing leverage between the U.S. and China. The book interprets the first round of the U.S.-China trade war as a revealing test of economic leverage. Its argument is that by 2018, the underlying balance had shifted enough that China could no longer afford to continue delaying a direct response, which meant the conflict was no longer a simple contest of tariff pressure. Instead, the trade war becomes evidence that both countries were operating under different constraints, with the United States relying on financial and trade tools while China worked to reduce vulnerability to them. This framing is important because it treats the trade war not as an isolated policy dispute, but as a symptom of deeper systemic stress. The book suggests that market reactions, capital controls, supply chain exposure, and currency dynamics all interacted to shape the outcome. By doing so, it broadens the meaning of the trade war beyond headlines and shows how commercial conflict can expose underlying monetary weakness. Lastly, how investors should think about preserving purchasing power. The book is not only diagnostic, it also asks readers to think about how wealth should be stored during periods of monetary instability. A recurring question is whether people should hold financial claims on wealth, such as currencies, stocks, bonds, and derivatives, or physical stores of value that are less dependent on trust in the financial system. This is one of the book's most practical contributions because it turns macro analysis into an asset allocation question. The argument does not claim that one category is always superior, but it does suggest that when a currency regime becomes more fragile, claims denominated in that currency may carry hidden risks. Precious metals are presented as one possible alternative because they are time-tested and less reliant on institutional balance sheets. The broader point is that investors need to distinguish between nominal wealth and durable purchasing power, especially when the monetary order itself may be changing. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who follow macroeconomics, sovereign debt, global trade, central banking, and currency geopolitics. It will be most useful to investors, finance professionals, policy readers, and anyone trying to understand why the post-war dollar system may be under pressure. The main benefit of the book is that it connects several large themes that are often discussed separately: foreign, central bank behavior, Chinese currency strategy, sanctions power, and portfolio resilience. Rather than offering a generic summary of economic tensions, it presents a focused thesis about how monetary power is shifting and what that means for asset ownership and national policy. What makes it stand out in its category is its dialogue format, which allows complex macro ideas to be framed in a more accessible way than a standard technical report. It also combines interpretation with practical reflection on preserving purchasing power, making it more actionable than many geopolitical finance books. Readers looking for a concise but opinionated lens on the future of the dollar system will find it distinctive. If you would like to support Luke Groman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.